docket. There is one case on that docket. And that case is Farmers Reservoir and Irrigation Company, or FRICO, versus Schutman and Dumpf. And I hope the council will correct me if I have mispronounced any of those names. As council's getting ready, I have a couple of preliminary things to get out of the way. Please go ahead and pour your water and make yourselves comfortable because you weren't here at 1:30. The first thing is, have you been able to review the procedures of this court that are sent out on that one-page procedural statement?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
Does either side have any question about those procedures? And if so, would you please ask? Okay. Are you ready to proceed?
Yes, we are.
All right, then let's do so.
Please the court. My name is Clinton P. Swift, Swift and Bramer, Windsor, Colorado. I have with me as co-counsel Mr. Bruce Joss, and present are the defendant appellants, Ed and Betsy Dumpf.
And how do you pronounce their last name?
Dumpf.
Dumpf? Okay, thank you.
It is the appellant's position that the review in this case of Judge West's finding and conclusions of law as to the conclusions of law is de novo. We believe that certain factual matters that are not in dispute should be reviewed with the court so you have the context of the case, understanding that you've read the briefs. The Dumpf are a parcel of land in Section 28. It's traversed by the Near East Canal and the East Burlington Tail Ditch. The East Burlington Tail Ditch, as it crosses the Dumpf's property, is 3 feet by 3 feet. The Near East is 90 feet wide, 50 feet on one side of the center line of the ditch or the canal, 40 feet on the other side. The Dumpf and their predecessors' interest have farmed up to the banks of the Near East and the East Burlington and run cattle and horses on the property. Frank has never maintained the East Burlington Tail Ditch and has never maintained the Near East Canal.
As far as the East Burlington Ditch, the record indicates, does it not, that a neighbor and the predecessors to the Dumps maintained that ditch?
Yes, Your Honor. Both the predecessors and the Dumps have maintained it, as well as the neighbor, Glenn Young, to the north of the property.
Thank you.
The Dumpf have refused FRICO access across their property to maintain the East Burlington Ditch. FRICO has a deeded right of way across a portion of the Dumpf's property related to the Near East Canal for operation and maintenance of the Near East Canal. The Dumpf and their predecessors have established a gated road across the property that extends across the FRICO deeded right of way involving the Near East Canal. The Dumpf and their predecessors have maintained the road exclusively without any assistance of FRICO for more than 18 years. And what the court did is basically strike that. And the other fact is that FRICO has testified that in order to maintain both the East Burlington and the Near East, even though it's one's 90 feet and one's 3 feet, that it need 20 foot on either side of both the tail ditch and the canal.
I thought the court's order for the East Burlington ditch was 15 feet on either side.
Yes, the position was, FRICO was that it needed 20 feet. The court granted 15 feet on either side of the East Burlington tail ditch, which is 3 feet wide. FRICO, its testimony is undisputed, would conduct its major maintenance of the Near East or East Burlington once every 20 years. It is the appellant's position that trial court erred as a matter of law when it granted FICO a prescriptive easement across the dump property without compensation. It's the appellant's position that the easement granted is in excess of the reasonable and necessary operation and maintenance of either the tail ditch or the canal, and that the trial court failed to balance the interests of the dominant estate versus the serving estate, the FRICO interest versus the dump's interest.
Mr. Swift, may I just ask you about that first part? As you were saying the trial court granted a prescriptive easement, and my understanding is the parties did not dispute there was already a prescriptive easement.
The only part not in dispute was that there is a tail ditch that is run for more than 18 years. There has never been any maintenance by FRICO. There's never been an easement for maintenance on either side of the East Burlington. As to the Near East, the only agreement was that the Near East has been in existence for more than 18 years, and that part of the dump land is subject to a deeded right for operation and maintenance, and part of it where the Near East is not deeded, it's just the Near East itself. There is no stipulation or agreement that there was prescriptive easement for 20 feet on either side of their property for maintenance and operation in the case of the Near East. So that's the distinction. I mean,
I think we understand that your client is saying that it doesn't like the court's order, but your client's not saying is your client that FRICO had no interest in this ditch?
No, FRICO had a prescriptive easement for the East Burlington Ditch and the Near East Canal.
And, okay, so the issue, is it fair to say that the issue, according to your clients, is just how much of the banks can FRICO use for the purpose of maintenance?
I would phrase it a different way.
All right.
As a conclusion of law that needs to be reviewed by this court, that the trial court, never engaged in any balancing of the interests of the dominant and serving estate, never even considered the history, which is undisputed, of the farming right up to the banks of the Near East and the banks of the East Burlington, and it never weighed that against 1 in 20 years.
That evidence was in the record, though, right? You presented that.
We presented it, but the court never the court accepted FICO's citation to the late 1800s and 1920 cases that involving ditches and never engaged in any balancing. The conclusions are devoid of any balancing of the interests of the parties, of the dumps in this case, the impact on the serving estate of a 20 or 15 foot easement on either side of the East Burlington cuts off a portion of their property. So they can't access the farm as they have, and there's there is a taking, but there's no compensation for those areas of the property that they have been deprived of.
Can I ask you a question about the taking? Was that issue taken off the table at trial, and was there a statement made that any takings issue would be resolved in a separate case?
No, we actually, during the trial, asked the court to consider evidence with respect to the damages and the compensation, and Judge West refused to consider it. It's very clear, and we've quoted it in the papers, I'm not going to consider the issue of compensation in this case. And he didn't order, or there's no part of the findings and conclusions that reserves the issue of compensation for deprivation of the dump's property.
Let's make sure that we're talking about the same thing. I understand that the dumps requested $1,500 in damages.
That's the damages with respect to the flooding on a specific occasion where there's specific evidence in the record.
Right. So you're talking about something else. You're talking about compensation for a taking. I'm wondering if you would be so kind as to tell me about what the meaning of this language is. Sorry, I looked in the wrong place. I think this happened on the third day. Landowners Council, who I believe was you, it's our position that if this court were to grant declaratory relief, that there would have to be a taking in a separate lawsuit. We bring this case law to that effect, and the amount of the value for the taking established in that lawsuit. Well, that may be an issue in another lawsuit, but it's not an issue in this one. Landowners Council understood, Your Honor. I just wanted to clear on the record that there was no consent to jurisdiction not only to declare the rights, but to take the property. So were you telling the court that the takings issue was for a separate case?
No, Your Honor. We at all times during the trial tried to introduce evidence as to the damages of the dumps, the loss of the property, and one, wasn't considered by the court, and two, it's not part of the order at all. There's nothing in the final conclusions that says, okay, now, Franco, before, now that you have a prescriptive easement on either side of East Burlington, before you take that property, you have to pay for the property on a separate condemnation proceedings, which is what we were asking the court to either consider in this case or find that there had to be a payment. And it's Franco's position clearly in their brief that there is no compensation to be paid.
So do you think that Franco had a prescriptive easement on the banks of the canal before this case?
Up to the banks of the canal, it had the prescriptive easement.
How about a prescriptive easement to go onto the banks and a reasonable dimension of that to perform maintenance? Did they have that before this case?
Well, one, if we're talking about the Nearies, yes. And what we're objecting to is part of the deed. It says it's 40 feet on one side, 90 feet on the other. And then the judge says, beyond all of that, even on the deeded part, you get 20 feet beyond on either side, which is not even the dump's property. I mean, they don't have 20 feet to the south of the Nearies to give. So there's an award of prescriptive easement that would impact property of people not before the court.
So you're saying that Franco did not have a prescriptive easement before this case to go on to the dump's property and conduct maintenance on the banks of the Nearies beyond the point where of the deed or on the East Burlington?
We believe that the nature of the request changed the nature of the use and was excessive.
That's not the question I asked.
The parties, the dumps, operated their farm with the Nearies, with the 40 feet on one side, the 50 feet on the other, and with limited maintenance, with the dumps doing most of it.
So, but my question was, before this case, did Franco have a prescriptive easement to go on to the East Burlington to conduct maintenance, or to go on to the part beyond the deeded to conduct maintenance?
Yes, and to the extent that they expand or change that, it should be compensation to the dumps. And clearly we think that the expansion of the East Burlington, a 3-foot tail ditch to 15-foot easement on the other side, is a change in the nature of the easement. It's excessive, and there's been no balancing of the interests of the dumps and no compensation for the property that they've been deprived of. And I'd like to reserve the
remaining
time.
Certainly, you've got 2.5 minutes.
Thank you.
May it please the court, I'm John C. Acolt, registration number 36310. I'm with my father, John P. Acolt, on behalf of the Farmers Reservoir and Irrigation Company. We also represented Mr. Schupman, but no issues with Mr. Schupman are involved in this appeal. Very quickly, regarding your question regarding the extent of the fee interest related to the Nearies and the prescriptive easement on the Nearies, Franco is not claiming, and the trial court did not grant, any additional land beyond that 90-foot easement. What must be remembered is that Franco acquired two distinct interests in the Nearies Canal. They had the fee section in the Near East Canal, which is located in the southeast quarter, and was granted by deed in 1909. Excuse me. Franco obtained a right of access and an agreement to deed the right-of-way in the future for the Near East Canal in the southwest quarter by an instrument dated July 7th, 1909. For whatever reason, Franco did not obtain the deed for the right-of-way for the Near East Canal in accord with that Near East agreement. Nonetheless, the Near East was constructed and operated in the southwest quarter since 1909. The East Burlington Ditch was originally constructed by the Burlington Extension Ditch Company sometime prior to the 1900s. Franco's successor...
Into the 2000s, don't you?
I'm sorry.
I mean, yeah, no, 1900s,
it was
I'm sorry.
The 1800s, yeah.
I apologize.
Yes. Franco's the successor owner and manager of the East Burlington Ditch, and there's no recorded right-of-way for the East Burlington Ditch. Importantly, there is no dispute regarding Franco's fee interest to the Near East Canal in the southeast quarter, nor did Franco request any additional lands on either side of its fee interest.
Pardon me for interrupting you, Mr. Akeld. I want to make something clear.
Yes.
Council has just said that the 20 feet the court said was the maintenance, dimension. He said that that's beyond the deeded amount, and you've just said not.
Right, and I believe he's wrong, Your Honor.
Can you explain why?
Well, there's two separate interests, and as far as the prescriptive easement, Franco requested, and that's one half of the Near East Canal. On that one half of the Near East Canal, Franco said, here's the prescriptive easement. We have the width of the canal, plus we need an additional 20 feet on either side in order to perform maintenance. The reason you have to perform maintenance is you have to bring in machinery, which can dig up dirt and debris, remove trees, everything else, and especially you have to disc the land on either side so that in the springtime, you can burn through, which burns the debris and vegetation that obviously grows in the ditch annually. Now, as far as the fee interest, Franco already has the maintenance road on either side of the canal. It doesn't need an additional 20 feet. The court's determination didn't involve the fee interest. I believe the court, its order on page 2, paragraph 1, explicitly states that there is no dispute regarding Franco's fee interest in the Near East Canal. So his entire order is solely based on the prescriptive easement section on the Near East Canal. We don't address anything that has to do with the fee interest, except for the fact, and we agree, that the dumps have a prescriptive right to use that maintenance road to also access their home. The only issue in this case, there wasn't a dispute as to whether or not there was a prescriptive easement to the Near East or the East Burlington Ditch. The sole question was answered by the trial court was the issue related to the size and scope to which Franco's interest in the canals extend. Now, the dumps argument is that the holder of an easement is not vested with authority to place a greater servitude or burden upon the farm, the dumps farm, than existed at the time the ditch was built. So the dumps also argued that the court was required to consider and equally balance each party's interests. Now, for this premise, they've cited the court case of Wright v. Horse Creek Ranches. In this matter, the Supreme Court considered the change in use from a private road, which is used mainly for agricultural purposes, to a recreational development area consisting of several smaller tracts owned by several individuals. In the court's analysis denying the requested enlargement of an easement, the court noted two relevant facts. First, the physical character of the easement was substantially altered from a 10-foot wide primitive road to a passageway which was 21 feet wide and accommodates two vehicles simultaneously. It also determined that the purpose of the new use has changed from permitting infrequent access for ranching needs to encouraging frequent use by owners and their guests for recreational residence purposes. Unlike Wright, where the dominant estate holder sought to change the use of its easement, Franco's easement interest is for ditch purposes and has remained so since the creation of the easement. While Franco concedes that the equipment which it now uses to operate the canals has changed over time, For example, it no longer uses horses and mules, and it now uses gas-powered machinery. Franco's is not seeking any additional uses within that, within those canals. The purpose remains for ditch purposes. Excuse me. Further, the dumps presented no evidence that the width of the Franco easements since the initial construction of the Nears Canal has been expanded or enlarged beyond the original widths as contemplated. In fact, the 1909 deed and the 1909 agreement granted the same dimensions that Franco sought in this matter. The dumps assert that Franco infrequently maintained the East Burlington, and then only by foot, and should therefore be so limited in the future. This argument ignores the testimony that Franco did not maintain the East Burlington ditch because Ms. Reeves, who was the previous owner of the dump property, and then the dump's neighbor, Mr. Young, maintained the canals. Significantly, those parties utilized many of the same methodologies and equipment for ditch maintenance that Franco proposes to use here. It's Mr. Young's failing health that has resulted in the necessity for Franco to begin maintaining the canal itself. Further, Franco's right to access the Nearies and the East Burlington ditch to maintain those canals, where Franco did not previously have to, is confirmed in Stoll v. McPherson Duck Club. In that case, the Colorado Court of Appeals stated, the fact that the necessity for maintenance of the ditch on the defendant's land has not arisen in the past does not destroy the drainage easement, nor the rights to maintenance and of entry relating thereto. Further, the dump's equal balancing test simply misstates the law for an easement with already defined purposes. The Colorado Supreme Court has explained that where an easement is non-exclusive in nature, both the holder of the easement and the owner of the land burdened by the easement have rights to use the property. However, the servient owner's right to use the burdened land are limited by the nature and extent of the easement holder's rights. Thus, the easement holder, thus the owner of the servient estate, retains the right to use non-exclusive easement for purposes that are consistent with the rights of the easement holder and that do not unreasonably interfere with the dominant estate.
So based on what you were just saying, my understanding is you're saying that prior to this court's ruling, the prescriptive easement had basically the same width as what the court's ruling gave it?
Your Honor, to the extent of the Nearies, I believe that's true. There's a maintenance road on the Nearies, and Franco's maintained that road. Now, also the trial court's determination related to the two canals stated that the dumps prevent, part of the reason Franco did not maintain the canals is because the dumps prevented them from doing so. So whether the exact scope of the East Burlington Canal was 15 feet on either side, there was no testimony related to that. However, Franco requested 20 feet on either side of both canals. And the reason that it requires 20 feet on either side, it doesn't matter that the ditch is small compared to the other one. What matters is the need to maintain the ditch. And since you're burning the ditches, they need to create adequate fire break on both sides. So.
All right, so then I had a second question, and that is you were saying the purpose of the easement remained the same, and so you're saying that the right case might not necessarily apply, which requires the balancing of interests.
That's right.
All right, so if the intensity of the easement, maybe the purpose is the same, but there's a change in the intensity, would the balancing test come in play?
Yeah, it might, but that doesn't apply to this case. There's no showing that the intensity in this case is increased. I agree that the machinery used has changed, but there's lots of circumstances and there's a need to allow technology to change over time. You could also have the opposite argument of saying it would be unreasonable if Franco wanted to maintain a ditch with mules and horses. I think people want a progression and should be allowed the progression of an easement in which they say it's acceptable and it's expected that machinery over time will change and in the future it will change. Now, there's also a right to farm act. Now, this applies to nuisance, but I think it enlightens the argument because you can say, Well, in the Right to Farm Act, it's expected that technology will improve, and that's not necessarily a nuisance simply because technology improves over time.
Mr. Akel, both sides seem to rely on Osborne and Kaywood Ditch. And it strikes me that Osborne and Kaywood Ditch does set forth a form of balancing test, does it not? I mean, it talks about you've got to be interested in the Servian estate, you've got to be interested in the dominance estate, and it includes the language that the owner of the land burdened by an easement, that in this case that's the dumps, has a qualified right to put their property to any lawful use for which it may be adapted, including farming, but that in exercising this right, they must not unreasonably interfere with the superior right of way of the person possessing the easement, in this case, Fryco and the ditch. Now, doesn't that establish a form of balancing?
Well, maybe it's a form of balancing test, but what I believe it is you've got it as in Lazy Dog as well. What you have is you have the dominant estate and the Servian estate. And clearly the dominant estate has to have priority over the Servian estate. And it can only be dominant to a reasonable extent. Likewise, the Servian estate is allowed to utilize the lands underlying the dominant estate, but you have to balance the Servian estate's desired use of the dominant estate. So I believe there might be a balancing test, but that balancing test comes from the Servian owner's side rather than the dominant owner's side.
Well, but as you've also said, the dominant owner can't, for example, Fryco, and I'm not suggesting they'd ever do this. I use this just to make my point. Fryco can't come in and build a casino.
Absolutely not. And in this case, it was for ditch purposes, and Fryco only claimed what was reasonable use. And the trial court listened to Fryco's extensive testimony, both from its general manager and Don Chapman, who's not related to Fryco. He's the manager of another ditch system on the South Platte River, in which they said that Fryco's methods are reasonable and necessary within the South Platte River, generally the ditch systems. So there was adequate evidence to determine the reasonableness of Fryco's desired uses of those canals throughout its system.
Do you know of any other easement that has the same constitutional status in the Colorado Constitution as ditch rights?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks. But would you agree that the Colorado Constitution creates prescriptive easements in these sections that both parties cited?
Yes, and I believe there's no dispute that there was a prescriptive easement here, and I also don't believe there's, when you have a defined use, I think the Nelville v. Loudon and the Osborne case are clear that if a ditch easement arises by prescription, the dimension of the access right to maintain that ditch is which was reasonably necessary. And that's what Fryco established and presented its evidence on. And ironically, the dumps are also seeking damages from flooding from the East Burlington ditch based on East Meadows Company v. Greeley, as well as the Colorado statutes which require a ditch company maintain a tail ditch and adequately maintain its canals. Although the dumps failed to present any evidence regarding damages in this matter, Fryco acknowledges that it has a duty of care in its operation, but Fryco should be, since Fryco is specifically required to maintain a tail ditch to the natural drainage, in order to comply with its duty in the law, Fryco must be enabled to maintain its ditches using reasonable methods in order to prevent overtopping of water, which could cause damages such as those alleged by the dumps. Just very quickly, regarding the taking issue, the trial court didn't grant Fryco any additional rights. What the trial court did was it merely defined the rights between the parties. So there's no basis to say there was a taking. What the trial court did is said, here's the rights between the parties, and this is how we'll define them.
Mr. Akel, the question I asked Mr. Swift was, did Mr. Swift take the takings issue off the table?
I don't believe it was ever on the table, Your Honor. We never heard any testimony, and I don't believe the trial judge ever made any determination against any testimony regarding the taking issue. The trial court simply said there wasn't a taking in this case. In fact, I believe that if Fryco had not won this matter and it was required a smaller easement, then that's when FRICA would have to go back in and file a takings complaint, and then the question of compensation would truly be an issue. Thank you.
Mr. Swift, you've got 2.5 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. The last issue is one of major concern, and it's, did I take that issue off the table? And you can clearly hear from FRICA's statements in the trial, in its brief before this court, that there has been no taking of anything of any nature. And they don't intend to pay for it, they don't intend to institute proceedings, and that's what we were trying to get is some clarification, one way or the other, from Judge West. And Judge West says, not an issue in this case, I'm not going to hear it, I'm not going to decide it. So what we have is the dumps being deprived of the property with no real compensation is required by the Constitution of the state of Colorado. The second issue is whether there was ever a balancing or weighing, as Your Honor indicated, the Osborne case, but also, as counsel indicated, the same language appears in the Lazy Dog case versus Telluride Ranch, that the land burdened by the easement has a qualified right to put his or her property to any lawful use for which it may be adapted, but cannot unreasonably interfere with the superior rights of the dominant estate. You just take the road, for example. Judge West granted the dumps a prescriptive easement across FRICO's deeded right-of-way in the middle of its property, but then turned around and said, FRICO, you can do whatever you want with that road. You can plow it up, you can burn it, you can pile trash on it. So in essence, the dumps have no real use of the road that's been in existence for 20 years.
Well, they didn't say they couldn't do anything. They can't build a casino. FRICO can't build a casino. I mean, right? I mean, we're talking about ditch-related purposes,
yes,
right?
But if you plow off a road that's been in existence for more than 20 years with track equipment that's not even necessary to go across the road, the dumps are going to be constantly having to rebuild the road every time FRICO wants to do anything with it.
Aren't we bound by the trial court's determination that this heavy equipment was reasonable and necessary and customarily used?
No, because I think the trial court had to balance it, and it can't be solely within FRICO's judgment as to what's reasonable and necessary. I think the trial court unlawfully gave that balancing away to FRICO alone when the trial court should have done the balancing.
Thank you, Mr. Swift. Your time is up. Counsel, the case will stand submitted. And the opinion will issue in due course. Thank you very much for your argument.